This morning, as I said, we really have a pretty great opportunity to continue in this passage in Ephesians. I want to remind you again of what it said. I'm going to read it from two versions here. The NIV version says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." In the Amplified version, it says it this way. And this was where we launched off into a message last week. And I don't know whether you've heard it, but funnily enough, that message, and, you know, often it can do it, it sort of brought a really polarized set of reactions or responses, some that just felt like really, like grabbing a hold of that again released them. And they really felt like, okay, I got to take a hold of some stuff, but some others that felt really overwhelmed by the scope of what I talked about and felt almost, you know, again, reluctant, possibly the word intimidated again by the vastness of this. And it can be unsettling, but it should always bring us back to this place that we choose to be anchored in the nature and character of God beyond just what we feel. The Amplified version says this: "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more." There's that word that's a little unnerving. Superabundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. And this word dreams is dreams, visions, things that we feel moved forward by, propelled by, drawn on by. But God is able to do more than we dare ask, think, beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. And what it led us into last week was journeying with God in those spaces where we feel there's something that, you know, we're invited into. It draws us on to the point of discontentment of where we are. It's almost like we can't just stay here anymore. We've got to be engaged in something that's bigger. And we talked about three main areas. The process of those dreams, that God, when he calls us into something, reveals himself in the journey. It's not always an easy journey. There is a lot of pop doctrine and pop theology that wants people to believe that it's all about, you know, joy and happiness. And if we're really engaged with Jesus, man, there is this like predominant state of just happiness and everything's great. And anyone who has journeyed in the faith for any real length of time and depth knows that that is not a reality. There is a joy that is not just, you know, a giddy happiness. There is a joy, a deep contentedness in the knowledge of the character of God, that even as we journey the process of a dream, the wilderness places, the lonely places, the spots where we're rejected, there is still a work going on. But the second part of that is that we choose to be pursuers of that dream, that we're not going to stop. Regardless of opposition, we're not going to stop. We are going to put our faith in him and continue to move forward. And the third one that anchors us is the promise in the dream, the promise in the midst of that vision or that invitation. And those are the places where God has declared himself faithful in his word, and his word is unshifting. And it's those promises that we have to take hold of. There were two warnings in it. One is don't rush it, and secondly, don't reject it. Don't rush it and try and get ahead of it, and don't reject it when we get weary and throw our hands up, because sometimes it takes a long time. But God says that in those trials, in those difficult places, his grace is sufficient for all our needs. And there are people in this life who have experienced more than me, have faced more than me, and have more authority to speak to this than I do. And there are two young ladies who I have known a little of their journey, one more than the other, and have found moments in their company inspiring, challenging, confronting, but so life-giving. And so in the midst of this topic, last week and this week, I chose to go out on a limb and invite them both. And I want to introduce them to you. I'm going to introduce a young lady named Sarah King to you. And as she comes, this is a little about her. She was born in Tenterfield, a little country town. Some people know of it. Mum and dad, three brothers. But she was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus, which is a accumulation of fluid in the brain. Met Jesus in grade 9, and that has mapped her life ever since. She's been a speaker and a confident speaker since grade 11, and now actually works a lot in art therapy and is quite an accomplished writer. The other young lady is a young lady maybe more familiar with some of you. Her name is Sarah Lawson. Sarah, born in Brisbane, raised there, grew up there, mum, dad, brother, sister, decided that she didn't want to just stay in Brisbane and she wanted to study. So she studied here on the coast, took the train back and forward to all her classes. But Sarah was born with cerebral palsy and has faced so much in light of that. But she graduated last year with a degree in sports science, exercise, and just so you know, she is also the area director of Toastmasters, and she oversees and looks after all of the Toastmasters clubs regionally. And as I have personally experienced, and as Sarah King noted on my paper, she is an all-round rat bag. Now, as we share, I'm really going to ask you to lean into this, because you are going to have to choose to attune your ears. Sarah Lawson speaks with a unique accent, and if you listen, you will hear it. And I may help navigate parts of this. And if she gets to the point that she needs to, we'll go up on screen as well. Last service, Sarah didn't need the screen, and it was just so impacting. It's not a speech or a sermon per se. It is a conversation that in the midst of, you will find nuggets of truth. And my feeling is as we sit and talk and share this with you, the conversation is going to develop throughout the day. As I said, many, many people in this journey of faith want to escape or avoid trial. Want to, you know, not experience hardship. In fact, if there's a way out, people tend to look for that. And obviously your lives have, you've experienced opposition, ridicule, rejection. There's been what some would consider insurmountable odds against you, and obstacles placed in your paths, or even things that you were born into. And I actually was really confronted, Sarah, just of myself, when we think of this word normal, you know, and I was like, you know, I don't remember where it came up, but you looked at me and you said, Tim, this is my normal. This is everything you've ever known. This is, as you said in the first service, your reality. And so I want to look at this space that we're in. And I had a couple of questions that I presented to you in this you know, in this knowledge that, you know, God calls us to great things, and they're not always easy paths and easy places. So what would you say, Sarah King? Can I call you King and Lawson?
Yep.
Does that work? All right, that's fine. Good. We're going to start with Miss King. Sarah, what have you learned about overcoming obstacles and hindrances in life? Just generally, what have you experienced?
Yeah, I like I shared in the first service how like I've learned that I can't do it alone. I can't get through things alone, and God's always very faithful to bring them about, you know, bring people about my path to help me through and everything. But, you know, just in that song before, I'm a little bit, whoo, in another world after worship just before. It's beautiful. But, you know, God reminded me just before, actually, with that question, you know, reminding your soul that He is faithful through the hindrances, through everything. You know, it's like, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You know, like, it's so really, you know, knowing that God is faithful to bring people about me, but having that absolute foundation. You need to choose your foundation when you come across things, you know, hit them with your truth and speak them with your truth and go, yo, hindrance, my God is good and He's faithful, and knowing that there's going to be a start and an end to your hard stuff.
I love that. Those two things that you say there, that the first thing is you can't do it alone. And sometimes I think what we do is we hide away in those spaces rather than actually confronting them. But you're saying not just confronting them with willpower, but confronting them with truth that takes authority in that situation.
Yeah.
I love that. Miss Lawson, what would you say in that same sense that you have learned about overcoming obstacles, hindrances in life?
They are always there.
They're always there, yeah.
That we have two choices. We either say it's too hard and give up, or we can persevere and allow God to use it for His glory.
Yeah. But if you didn't understand, so you'll tune into it, you only have two choices. You either face it, persevere, or you see it as too big and you just give up. And one thing I know about you, Sarah, is you don't give up. One of the most amazing places I've seen that is in our opening day here and on our Sunday celebration day. You got to, next time the inflatables are up on that pool, you must watch Sarah attack them. It honestly is deeply inspiring to me. This girl can swim further than I dream. I wish I could swim that far. But she is relentless. And it was only because we ran out of time on the missile on that pool that Sarah didn't get to the end. Every time she tried it, she got further and further. And she does not want to have it made easier for her. So I deliberately squirted her relentlessly with the hose. But this is the thing. You just realize that you will either see it as too big and you'll quit, or you're going to face it and face it in faith and press through. And that's not just from my mouth. I love, Sarah, that is from your mouth, and Sarah from your mouth. So give us a glimpse. Give us something that you have had to overcome, an obstacle or a declaration that you can't, and how have you experienced what it means to declare that truth, to rise up to it?
Yeah, so for me, a lot of it is confidence, is, you know, like, you get labeled and you get told what you can and can't do, and because I have a pump in my head with pressure and stuff like that, so So, you know, but I've always been a big dreamer. And so God's always put these massive dreams in my heart. And a prayer that I've had since the moment I met Jesus is just like, God, sustain my body so that I can continue to do what you've called me to do. You know, it's been my constant prayer, just sustain my body, because my body is so unpredictable and everything. And I was remembering I had a missions trip that I went on back in the day, 2011, I think it was, to Cambodia in Thailand. And it was just one of those moments where reality hit. And 2 weeks before I was leaving, I came back home from a day in Brisbane, and I had these blisters on the bottom of my feet that had, like, it was pretty much like half my foot was skinned. And it was this moment where, you know, like, my reality is my feet take longer to heal, I don't have good circulation, so I'm about to go to a third world country. And, you know, there's moments where I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt in my spirit that God said go, but my reality was going, don't do this. And so, and I was surrounded by my family who are non-Christian, and they were constantly saying the same thing. And I just remember going, I'm going to do it scared because you said go, you know, and knowing that he, again, is faithful. And 2 days into the trip in Cambodia, I went to undress my feet, and I had brand new skin on the bottom of my feet, you know. And so, you know, it's not just declaring as you go, but the glory of given to the name of Jesus when, like, those brand new feet are walking around Cambodia, you know. Like, those moments are super scary, but super seated in heavenly places kind of moments where you're like,
so you find that, you know, for you in that, it's step into it.
Yeah,
trusting that he's going to meet you in it.
Yeah, if he's not a God that he would lie, yeah. And he's a good God. So if he's saying, go, just keep wobbling on.
Like heaps of, keep what?
Keep wobbling on.
I love that you said that. Just keep wobbling on. Like, for most of us, we take travel and everything for granted, but you, in speaking and the things that you are doing, there's a lot for you to overcome, but you choose that the worth of it and the beauty of that invitation is able to overcome a lot of what you face. You obviously have dreamed about those things and have discovered God in it. Did that take a while to develop?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness, absolutely. Still is, you know. It's the journey of, you know, how people say, you know, faith is a muscle and you exercise it and stuff. So that journey of trusting Jesus, you know, I don't know if it's ever gotten less scary to step out in those moments again, but my confidence in knowing that he's going to meet me has definitely been the anchor, so that I can step out in fear but know that I'm going to be relieved really quickly.
I want to connect what you've said there, because it's so great what you're saying. You don't know what your body's going to do. You're asking the Lord to sustain you. But you have this sense that that vision, that dream that you have is of greater worth than the opposition in you. And so you just choose, I'll keep going until it stops. Man, I love you. I love that stuff that you're saying. Lawson.
Lovell.
One thing you'll get to know with Miss Lawson is she's just got this wicked sense of humour. But I know that there is one massive obstacle. I know you had a dream from when you were very young that there was something that you would be able to do. What was that dream?
To drive a car.
She had a dream that she would one day be able to drive a car. Now, Sarah's cup on this table has a straw in it. There's a reason for that. And I don't allow Sarah to ridicule herself, because she has spent a lot of her life with cerebral palsy, being mocked and ridiculed. And an easy way to handle that is to just engage with it. But I don't want that. I've had to stop her at times because I won't allow that. I will be a defender of Sarah Lawson. But this is just one of those funny things that wasn't just self-deprivating. But she said, look, I can't hold a cup, but I can drive a car. And I want you to hear a little bit of her story that enabled her to get there.
Before I was able to drive, I had two assessments.
Two assessments
and
you had to have.
The first at home with an occupational therapist.
Yeah.
And he had to
assess
my movements and to see if I was able to drive.
Right, so she has to have an occupational therapist who comes into the home and assesses her movements to see if she is physically able to drive. And what did he say?
You passed.
You passed.
And before he did, I thought, there's no way I'm going to pass this. Yeah. He said, yes.
So he says yes, and you go on to...
And it says, I hop in the car with the OT and a specialised driving instructor.
A specialised driving instructor with your occupational therapist.
And at the start, I wanted to see what I was able to do on my own.
Yeah.
And the first time, I had to turn a corner and I ended up on the wrong side of the road. He said, Sarah, you're having a knob on the steering wheel.
He says to her, because she ends up on the wrong side of the road, okay, enough of your two hands on the wheel, you're getting a knob on the wheel. So, yeah.
And then, with this first instructor, I had six lessons with him.
Six lessons with that instructor.
I remember every time we had a lesson, there were two things he said to me.
All right, two things he said to you. What was the first?
Sarah!
Okay, and the second? The second?
There's a possibility you might be able to drive.
Wow, okay.
And every time he said that, it did hurt.
Yeah, every time that hurt to
that
hear.
That pain.
Yeah.
I'd always had this dream. So I felt like he had popped it.
Yeah, he'd popped the dream.
Yeah.
So tell me what that felt that time that you drove with your dad and you had your plates that were, they're those reversible plates, one side's an L and one side's a P.
And it was just really tough. Yeah. It was a really tough day in the car. And I went home and I took the L test off the car. I went to my room and I didn't cry. I just cried. I threw the L test on the ground out of frustration.
you're so frustrated, you threw them just as you came into your room.
And both parents never tea time for facing up.
Both landed with the pea plate facing up.
And in that moment, God said, Sarah, keep going.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And so you faced the day of your test.
Yeah.
And you obviously were very nervous.
Yeah.
And I imagine the driving in examiner was pretty nervous.
He was pretty more nervous than me.
So you face the test and you are really nervous in that. So what happens that gets you through that morning? What happens in you?
On that morning, I had God just come over me.
Yeah.
He gave a real sense of his peace.
Yeah. And then, because every lesson you made pretty serious mistakes. Oh, yeah. And then you face your test, and there's a certain percentage of things that you have to get to pass. How did you go?
In my nervousness, I didn't make any errors.
That's so, not one error.
And I know that wasn't my strength. I was God's strength in working in me.
I love that. Not just our own strength, not just our own practice, but that peace of God. Because the thing with Sarah that you may not know, but when she gets nervous, her arms want to let the world know that she's nervous. And they sort of have the mind of their own. And the beauty in that peace that she asked the Lord for and that he met her in, she doesn't make one error. And that is an incredibly physically applicable sense of that peace of the Lord that you experienced. Man, people going, you're probably not going to be able to do it. You probably can't. You know, you're at least going to need this knob to do it. And yet, now you drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overcoming. I love that. Now, King. Sarah, you said something to me that began this conversation in us. Sarah, I turned up in the center about a week and a half ago in a wheelchair. And usually Sarah wanted to come together and they are each other's equilibrium. They are each other's balance and they sort of offset each other as they walk in. And they love to spend time and swim together, being friends forever. But Sarah came in and she's in the wheelchair and, you know, typically out of turn, trying to be funny, I looked at Sarah and I said, oh, how come you're in the wheelchair today? You're feeling lazy. Because usually she's wobbling in. And she said, I really burned my foot. And I looked at her and I felt really dumb for making a bad joke to start with. But when I said that, she looked at me and she said, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Now, I want you to just speak to what enabled you to say that. When we live in a world where people want to avoid pain, they want to avoid suffering, we cushion ourselves, we set parameters around ourselves to avoid that. How can you say that pain is a blessing?
Yeah, well, there is the physical side of it that made sense for me. Like I was I never could feel the back of my legs and my feet. So God's been healing that. So when moments like this, I'm 28 years old and experiencing what it is to walk on prickles and be like, ah, it was quite funny actually. When all my life, I've thought people were sooks when they thought, walking on prickles was sore. I was like, I've had brain surgery. What's up with you? And so I had to repent for that. Sorry, God, you're not sooks. It does hurt. But so there is the physical part of it where, it is a blessing for me that I can feel it because God's healing my cells.
Okay, pause there.
Pause.
Pain is a blessing because it let you know that you can feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear that, what she said, because of the spina bifida, there was no feeling down the backs of her legs and her feet. And so she has this encounter where she burns her foot so badly that she feels it and goes, what a blessing. I have pain. Now, I read a book, or I started to read a book. Honestly, I never finished the book because it cut too close to the bone at the time. But it was a book called Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants. So go beyond your physical and speak to that for a minute. What is that mechanism of pain in life?
Yeah, when we feel pain in life, it's like the bittersweetness. And, we all experience it. We all experience hearty pain, emotional pain, grief and everything. And I think, I'm feeling a little bit, but God meets us in that place of pain. And the bittersweetness, the bitter might be bitter, but the sweet is so much sweeter when you taste it in and amongst your pain. It's we try and avoid it, but if we allow ourselves to embrace it and bring it to Him, He makes it beautiful, and He gives us a perspective on pain and on anything that we go through that, it isn't. He's a creative God, and I believe He heals in a million different ways. He's so creative, and so to not put Him in a box when it comes to how we can see our pain in a different perspective because of His goodness, not because of us, but because He meets us in the middle of it.
Miss Lawson, I got a question, because when Jesus left this earth, and I know you both have a very genuine relationship with Christ, but when Jesus left, He goes, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you a comforter. And so often we don't want discomfort, but we can never really experience comfort unless we've known discomfort. And so if God gives His Holy Spirit as a comforter, where have you encountered that work of Christ, that work of His Holy Spirit in comfort in the midst of your life?
Oh, for me, is it God's joy? And God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And even in the middle of my pain and suffering, I just feel this joy. And that joy is what keeps me going.
Man, I love that. Now, people look at your circumstances and consider through our own eyes and go, oh man, I'm glad I don't have those circumstances, or I'm glad I'm not in that place. And you've both experienced probably our well-intentioned but propensity towards saying, can we pray for healing? Because we have a different reference point for what is good or whatever than you guys do through life that you've lived to this point and the dreams and hopes you still have in the Lord. And Sarah Lawson, you said something that absolutely stopped me in my tracks when we were talking about healing. And What did you say when you were given the option for healing? What was your response?
I say no. If I was healed, I'd be able to do everything in my own strength. And I had this fear that I would fall away from God.
Do you hear that? This is what Sarah said, because if she was healed, she would be able to do everything in her own strength. And her fear is that if she had her own strength, she would withdraw from God. And so she would say, if she's asked, do you want to be healed? She says, no, I would rather have what I have and the relationship I have with God than have my own strength and pull away. That is an astounding statement. In fact, you also said to me when we talked about healing, I said, you know, would you want that healing? And you, what was your words? You said, healing would make your life easier, but it would not make your life better.
No.
Does that mess with you? Yeah, honestly, let's get real. We sort of look at it and go, yeah, that, I don't know what I do with that. But this is what it means when we apply God's word in a very real way to our lives. Could someone do me a favor and just run up and let Greg and Sarah know we're going to go just after 11:30. But I don't want to just cut this short. I think this is so important for us as followers to be in these conversations. I want to ask you this, both of you, what part does faith play in the way you approach life? King.
Kingy. Faith. Faith, can I just use that song that we sang before? You know, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, where I walk upon the waters, wherever you'll lead me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, where my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. You know, and it's like that moment when we are faced with, which is life, you know, we're faced with the unknown, we're faced with, you know, I've had a lot of surgeries in my life where everyone that I went into, I was like, am I going to come out again, you know? And so, you know, being faced with life and not knowing what's around the corner. But faith is the perspective of I'm going to be closer to my Savior, and I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose the perspective of faith and inject it into my reality right now, because reality is, let's face it, sometimes suck. And so when we inject our faith into it, it's like, you know, it's, to me, it's like looking at a rose and it doesn't smell like anything, but then you put faith on it and it smells beautiful, you know, like it's like faith is what keeps us walking on water. Yeah.
Miss Loss.
Faith means everything. It's the reason why I persevere.
Your faith is the reason you persevere.
And I have such big dreams, and it's only because of my faith. I have massive dreams.
Massive dreams.
Like being able to drive.
Yeah, like being able to drive.
Yeah.
And faith is in a God who loves you and will never leave you, never forsake you. I ask, there's one thing about both these girls, if you take the time to get to know them, there is this very, very real sense of joy that, as you would hear, is not just based in circumstances. There is a joy that is born in the deep knowledge of the person of God. And this is why I said that these girls can speak to things that I will never have the authority to speak to in the same way. And Miss Lawson said to me, you can recite it, your definition of what joy is.
I have to remember it.
I wrote it down. And I know what it is, because when you said it, I stopped you and I wrote it down right there.
It is unexplainable enthusiasm for God. Regardless of the circumstances I face.
Unexplainable enthusiasm for life, regardless of the circumstances I face. That's what joy is. That is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. That is the invitation to know the Lord in the midst of trial and suffering and know what it is to pursue Him. And so I'm going to ask as we close, if you could encourage people here with what it is to live out faith in practice, how would you say it from your life experience? How do you live out faith in daily practice?
For me, it's, I want to encourage you that when you have a foundation of He is a good Father, everything filters through that. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're faced with, it filters through. He is a good, good Father, and He is faithful, and He never leaves and He never forsakes, but He even gives you the laughter amongst the storm. He teaches you what it is to dance in the rain. You know, He is that good. And so for me, I want to encourage people to choose a good foundation when you're faced with trials. Choose His goodness to filter everything through and know that He is good. He is good.
That's good. Thank you. Sarah, how would you speak to that?
I would say that don't let your circumstances stop you from allowing what God is able to do through your circumstances.
Don't ever let your circumstances dictate what God can do through you. Don't ever let it hinder, is the word you use. Don't ever let it hinder what God can do through you. Is there anything that you would add, either of you, to what you've said?
Have to take the limits of God.
Say that again.
To take the limits of God.
I want you to hear that. I really... I love your approach to it. That you want to take God at His word. You pretty much want to test the limits of God. You don't... I feel like that's the final word. You know, it's so easy for us to pull back, to feel opposition and just go, man, that it's not easy, therefore it can't be God. You know, it's not provided for, therefore it can't be God. You know, there's too many obstacles, too many people telling me it can't be possible, therefore it must not be God. And yet your experience of God in the face of trial is so different to that. That you find that He meets you in those tough places, that you feel like He goes ahead of you in those challenges, and you become an overcomer, not just because of your strong will, which thank God He has given you both, but because of the meeting place of grace and faith. And I'm just so grateful for these girls' courage to speak to us. And I want to honor you both. I mean, I want to honor you. I told you there is an authority that these two and others of you have to speak, and we have to share our encounters with God with one another. It's not just for professionals to speak life to one another. God is so good, and I hope that you'll take him at his word. I pray, as Sarah said, and I made her say it twice, test the limits of God. Read Malachi. He says it even about finances. Come, test me. Put me to the test. Put him to the test in life. See that he is not able to do more than we could ask or think or imagine according to his power at work in us. And so I'm going to pray, God Almighty, take some of these little deposits of truth. God, bring them to life in us. God, you know our circumstances, the good ones, the bad ones, the easy ones, the tough ones, the confusing ones. And I ask that you would make yourself so, so known to us in these times. God, I thank you for your work in Sarah King. I thank you for your work in Sarah Lawson. I thank you for the living testament of your faithfulness on a day-to-day, day-in, day-out basis. And that it's you who calls them onward into places that people tell them they can't go or have no right being, and yet, Lord, you're the one who they knowingly paves the way again and again. And Lord, I pray that we would not live small lives, but we would take you at your word, that we would see your kingdom come, that we would see your will done here on earth, here in our community, here in our region, in our nation, to the uttermost parts of this earth. And God, as we step from here on some of these little moments of truth, Lord, would you bless us and keep us? Would you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us, O God? Would you lift up the light of your countenance upon us? Go ahead of us, light our way. And above all, in the knowledge of your name, would you grant us your peace now and whatever lies ahead? And thanks. Amen.